Continue. We left off yesterday. We are in the middle of pasuk tezayin. Perichov ches pasuk tezayin. Nogid chasar tivunos v'rav ma'ashakois. Kamo. Perichov ches pasuk tezayin. A nogid. Nogid is a leader, a prince. Chasar tivunos, who is lacking understanding, a foolish leader. What is this? V'rav ma'ashakos. The vav here appears to be a little bit difficult. Grammatically speaking, the Rav Ma'ashakos means he commits crimes. He has a tendency to steal, a desire to increase his wealth through extortion, through theft. Ma'ashakos can mean many things. Oshuk means theft, a violent form of theft, which we commonly translate extortion, but it means other types of things as well, but it means theft. Now, according to Rashi in the Mitzudos, Sone Vetzai Yaruch Yamin. According to Rashi and the Mitzudos, as the best that I can understand, also from what I've tried to extract from the art scroll, is the word chasar tevunos is really going on the end of the pasuk. That's what's very misleading about this pasuk, according to simple translation. What is, you can really, if you read the pasuk in a different order, you would read it nagid v'rav ma'ashakos. A nagid, a leader who is a ganef. Why is he a ganef? What's the cause of his approach to life, to the abuse of his power to steal other people's money? It's chasar tevunos. He's lacking understanding. What does he not understand? So the pasuk concludes, he doesn't understand that sone vetsa yarech yamim, that to live a long life, a long happy life, you have to hate vetsa. Profit. Profit here in this context means ill-gained profit. Ill-gained profit, meaning that this will not bring success. A nagid, a leader, is looking for success. He wants a legacy. He wants his people to be happy. Okay, all these nice fancy words which are all meaningless. He wants success, whatever success is. He's foolish to think that success will come with the economy. That's really what I mean. I shouldn't say the economy. It will come with theft, with increasing his wealth, his assets, through oshak, through robbery. That is his foolish mistake. If only he would realize that a soni betza, one who hates ill-gained profit, will be yarich yamim, will have a long, prosperous life, then he will have a different approach to his leadership. Okay, so again, so the point we're trying to express is that we have to take the word chasar tevunos and apply that to the end of the pasuk. What he lacks understanding is that a soni betza yarich yamim. That's the secret. That's the big. If you know that secret, then he would not be a virav ma'ashakos, and instead he would have a different. He would deal with his people in a different way. Let's look at the Mitzvah Star Pasuk Kazayin. Nogid kasher yiyah hanogid chasar tevuna. So right away, the Mitzvah explains. Take the word chasar tevuna, and it's chasar tevuna. And we'll see what chasar tevuna is in one moment. Yar b'ma'ashakos, he increases robbery. Im ki sone habetza, he does not realize. That's what he's he does not understand. Ki im asone habetza marich yamim. A person who hates ill-gained profit lives a long, prosperous, healthy life. Ki akasil lo yavin ezos. He is a chasar tevunos. He doesn't understand this, and that's why he conducts himself in this way. Rashi says, "Come out the same thing in the shorter words." Pasuk tezayin chasar tevunos mitoch shehu chasar tevuna, being that he lacks understanding. Hu rav ma'ashakos, he commits crimes, he steals from his people. Ki ein noisin leif, he does not understand, he does not pay attention al chayov, on his life. He does not realize that by stealing from other people he's going to bring about a premature death. Umarbe la ashoik, and he continues to rob other people. Shahare, because a person who sone betza, if he only would want to live a long life, a happy long life, he would understand the shahare. Sone betza yarich yamim. Now the pasuk will, now this idea really is expressed in more detail in the next pasuk. Because why is that so? Why is it that if a person who commits oshek, why does he have a short life? The next pasuk explains, because pasuk is Zayin Adam Ashuk Bedam Nafesh. Now Ashuk literally means is the victim, but that's not how we translate the translation from the context. It's an unusual translation. Means a person who is the aggressor, who is the perpetrator, the one who commits the crime. He's the one who's committing the oshek, Oshuk literally means the victim of Oshak, but that's not how it's translated here. And an unusual nikud is discussed by the midrashim. Why does it say it in this form? But it's translated that an adam that Oshuk commits the crime of Oshak, bedam nafesh, to the degree where he spills blood of another person. There are different ways to commit Oshak. Oshak is you can force people to give to part with their money. You can torture them. You can illegal extortion, intimidate them. There are many ways, but the severest form of Oshak is where it involves murder, involves shvichas damim. So Adam, Oshuk, Bedam nafesh, through murder, adbar yonus, he will flee until he hits the grave. Until he hits the grave, al yismichuvo, and it will not support him. Who is al? So that's subject to much interpretation. It means the people, society. No one will come to his defense. No one will want to serve or say a good word about him to support him. That don't blame him. It's not his fault. He had a bad chinuch. He had a bad this. It's not all the different reasons. A person who goes to the degree of murdering another person in order to profit will not find anyone to come and defend him. Al Yismichuvo, no one will come to his defense. So Pasuk Yud Zayin is really a continuation of Pasuk Tes Zayin. Yud Zayin is telling us, why is it that a Soni Betza will be Yarech Yamim? The answer is because the people who are partners in Oshek ultimately go to the extreme and they murder. And when someone commits murder as part of Oshek, he will end up in the pit. He ends up at Bar Yonus. He will flee. He will commit suicide. That's almost what it says. At Bar Yonus, he will run eventually to the pit to kill himself, to commit suicide, and no one's going to stop him. Now, that's I gave you an extreme interpretation. But other than the most similar thing is what the Mitzudos here says is, I'm not sure. I think Mitzudos says is that when a person does an avera, it bothers him. It bothers his neshama. He's always looking over his shoulder. He has no menuchas hanefesh. The guilt bangs upon his conscience for the rest of his life. How many times we hear in the news where people commit crimes and 30, 40 years later they come confess? There was a story last year with that child that I remember that was before my time.
AIDS.
Pates,
the child that was killed. Yeah.
Was killed, and now how many years later did he come forward and finally confess to that crime? So obviously, if he's coming to confess now, it's been bothering him his entire life. So that agmas nefesh takes away a person's life. Person has no, the person has digus, it's not good for their health. A person who's always living in a state of fear, worry, something's bothering them, that has a very powerful effect on a person's health, and he dies prematurely. So that's what it says. Since a person has done the worst thing possible by spilling innocent blood, he will have no menucha for the remainder at bar until he gets to the bar, until he enter the grave, Yanus, he will run away from himself. He'll run away from his guilty conscience of what he has done. Al yismichuvo, and there's nothing that in this world that can give him strength, support, to take away that guilt. Okay, let's see a more detailed translation in the Mitzudos David, Pasuk Yud Zayin, Adam Ashuk, Mi shenafshoy ashuka ba'avon shvichos damim. So indeed, the Mitzudos David says that the word ashuk means he is oppressed. He is oppressed. We'll translate the word over ashuk to mean he's oppressed. Why is he oppressed? Because he has committed a crime of shvichas damim. So he is disturbed. Hinei ad kiyamos v'yikaver, until he dies and is buried. Yonos mipachad roitvim. He's always on the run from people that are pursuing him. V'lo yimso mi yismech b'yada. He's not going to find a person that's going to come to his aid. Kima'od, Hirashil Asos, he has done a crime that is beyond description, and no one can find a merit to come to his aid and to support him. Kirashi Pasig Yud Zayin says it's come out the same, it's a little bit different. Rashi is more midrashic. Adam Ashuk Bedam Nefesh, Sheyesh Olav Oishek Dam, he has spilled blood.
That's in parentheses.
Right, so that's the presence, but according to Rashi, according to Rashi, Rashi seems to be translating the word Ashuk. Don't read like the Mitzvah, that means he's a victim. He is the one that is the victim of Oshek, but rather it means he is the one that has done the Oshek, and he has done the Oshek through Shvichas Damim. So what does this refer to? Rashi says, don't take this pasuk literally. It means the person that enticed another person to go off the derech. Who hamachti es chaveroi, person that caused his friend to sin, to do averos, the of the nafsho al yodoi, and that person he left Hashem's derech because of him, the ad bar yonus ad yom moso yonus le ezra, he will seek help, she is chaper lo, his entire life will seek kapara for the sin by causing someone else to sin, the al yismichu vo mishamayim, they will never grant him siyat deshmaya to succeed in doing tshuva and being forgiven. Why? Listapik biyada lo shuv, to do tshuva. Why? Here he's quoting the Gemara, a very famous Gemara. He quotes the Yitzchak Gemara Masech the Yoma Daf Pei Zayin. Why? Shelo yehayuhu began Eden v'talmidoi begehenim. Kach nidrash b'Masech the Yoma. It's not fair if a person is machdias harabim. A person causes other people to do averos. It's not fair that later in his life he will do tshuva. He'll be a tzaddik. He'll be in Gan Eden, and all of his students, all of the people that he inspired, he caused to sin, will be in Gan Eden. Doesn't make sense. The Rebbe is in his students, right? It does not make sense that if he is the cause of other people doing averos, they're all sitting in Gehenna, and he did tshuva, and he now is in Gan Eden. So therefore, the pasuk says he will not be granted. Either this means he will not be granted siyata d'shmaya. Every person, when he wants to do tshuva, Hashem grants him siyata d'shmaya. Hashem helps him more than he would be able to do on his own. This type of person who has caused other people to sin, and those people remain in their sin, will not be granted siyata d'shmaya when he himself wants to do tshuva, because it's just not fair. It's not fair that the product of his actions are in Gehenna and he is in Gan Eden.
It's not just that it's not fair. He can atone for his own sins, but he can't atone for the sins of the others unless he...
Right, so he has to join his students in that. Exactly, right, that's what it means.
It's the only way he can undo...
But it's saying something more.
Being punished for.
Correct. But it's saying a little more. It's saying al yismichuvo is according to the Gemara is in Shamayim. Who is al yismichuvo? According to the Mitzudos, it means fellow man. He has friends. He has family. So he's on the run. He's a murderer. He's a serial murderer. He's on the run. So he knocks on the door of his cousin. Can you take me in? The authorities are on my tail. Sorry, buddy. You're not coming into my house. I have no sympathy for you. I know what you've done. No one will go and will support him. That is how the Mitzudos Tavit translates the words al yismuhuvo. His fellow man will not come to his aid. Rashi, based on the Gemara, says no. Al yismuhuvo means shamayim. The Ribbono shel Olam will not grant him siyata d'shmaya to be chozer b'shuva, because it's just not fair. It's not fair that his students are in Gehenna and he is in Gan Eden. Okay, so this Paro, oh, excellent. So Paro, by Chabad Hashem, a slave Paro, it's just not fair. Now that Paro is witnessing the 10 Makos, and he's witnessing Makos Bucharos, he's witnessing all these miracles, so it's obvious. It's obvious there is a Ribbono Shel Olam and he should let Klal Yisrael go. By Chabad Hashem, a slave Paro, the damage that he has done all along when it was not obvious with his Bechira Chavshis is so great, it's so enormous, there's so much pain, it's not fair. It's not fair you should now be able to just let Klal Yisrael go and go off scot-free. There are consequences for your actions, and that's one of the very popular approaches to explain why Hashem was allowed to harden the heart of Paro. Every person is granted the Bechira Chavshis. How can Hashem interfere? The answer is, when it comes to a certain point, once you have abused your Bechira Chavshis for a long period of time, now it's no longer fair that you should be able to make decisions when it's easy. And Hashem indeed denied Paro Bechira Chavshis at that point in time. Okay, so let's now go to this is the Medrash. Okay, so Hoylech Tamim, so Adam Ashuk B'dam Nefesh, okay, Adbar Yonus. Okay, let me just make sure. I think I wanted to tell you something here. Okay, just 1 second. Okay, Adam, it says here the word Adam, Pasuk Adam Ashuk B'dam Nefesh. Now, in the Oisiyos de Rabbi Nosson, once upon a time we had Shiurim about the letters of the Aleph base. And throughout Tanakh, there are certain letters, Oisiyos Gedolos, Oisiyos Ketanos, and Sefer Torah. We, in our tradition, the common tradition, which is today among Seferim, only 8 letters, only, what is it, how many letters? 9? How many letters are big? I forgot, I think 19 letters. 19 letters. I think in our Sefer Torah, if I'm not mistaken, there are only 19 letters which are Mishunos, which are large or small, like the big Beis of Bereishis, the Aleph of Ayikra, Vav de Gochoin, the Vav of the letter Gochoin. There are a couple of letters, I forgot the exact number, but in our Sefer Torah, there are certain letters which are large and which are small, and there are multiple midrashim to explain the significance of why it's large and small. In Tanakh, he studied the entire Tanakh, there's also a Mesorah, and it's not as clear the Mesorah, which letters are supposed to be large and small. One of the traditions has it that the Dalet of the word Adam is a small dalet. And this pasuk yitzayin, Adam Ashuk Bedam Nefesh, a person commits a crime of murder. Adbar Yonus Yismuchuvo. The Mincha Shai says that it's a mistake, and the article quotes the Mincha Shai that says it's a mistake, it's a toast. There's no such Mesorah that the dalet of the word Adam should be small. However, in the Medrash,
there was a lot of people who did put it on.
If the Mincha Shai is telling you that it's a mistake, obviously he holds not. In fact, in the Medrash Rabbi Akiva ben Yosef al Oisios Ketanes Vitane, in the special Medrash of the Oisios, special Medrash of letters, this is listed as one of the letters where the dial is small. And the question is why? What is the significance? So there, actually, in that Medrash, it gives one explanation that when one person kills another, there is collateral damage. The collateral damage is to 4 people. Well, of course, first the victim, and then the victim's wife, and then his son and his daughter. Now, I don't know why son and daughter, you break up into 2 children, but that's what it says. It says the oistal, I'll read you the exact words. It's a medrash. Medrash Rabbi Akiva ben Yosef be al oisios ketanes v'taneim. And he writes here, Adam Ashuk B'dam Nefesh, Dal Dalit Kitana, Ki Ashefech Dom, Hoireg Dalit, Hanirtsach, the victim, Uchilu Horeg Es Ishtoi, that's 2, Vies Bonov, his sons, 3, Vies Benoisah, 4. Collateral damage. And that's why the Dalit is small. 4 people have suffered the loss of 1 person. Here he has another parish, a different marriage, is that you're not called a human being. If one person kills another person, you can't even call them a human being, so it's as if the Dalit is missing. The Dalit is missing, it's not the word Adam. It's no, Dam is that's the Dalit. The Dalit is missing, so it's Aleph and Mem. Aleph and Mem is Aim, Im. I don't know what it means, but the middle letter of the word disappears, meaning he cannot be in the category of a human being. Okay, now there is another. Okay, let's go further. Let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Yud Ches. Hoylech Tamim Yivashaya. A person who walks in wholesomeness will be saved, will see salvation. The nekash derachim yipol b'achas, a person that has a corrupt, walks on a corrupt road. The nekash derachim, a person whose ways are corrupt, yipol b'echos, will fall in one. Now it's not clear what the one is. We'll see in a moment something very interesting. But first, let's see the mitzvah of the pasuk yitches. Yivashaya, min hatsaros sarabos asher sivavuhu. A person who goes in wholesomeness will be saved from all of the tsaros that surround him. A person walks, is always surrounded by trouble. And that trouble will, he'll be spared from the trouble by going in a way of tmimus. Ba'achas, bevot sora achas. However, v'nekash derochayim yipol be'echos, even one tzara is enough to knock out a rasha, and he will no longer rise. Bevo tzara achas noifel ba b'li tekuma. Kerashi pasuk yitches yipol be'achas bira achas ve'ein tekuma l'mapola. So there is no tekuma. There is no tekuma for his mapola. Now, this is very interesting. There's a Gemara. The Gemara in Masechta, this pasuk is a piece of the puzzle in a Gemara in Masechta Sanhedrin Daf Zayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara there, now I'm sure you'll realize, very common there, when the Gemara quotes a pasuk, more often than not, the pasuk is not an exact quotation. There are missing words, missing letters. Some reason you get the impression that the people who wrote the Gemara did not know Tanakh. they just didn't know Tanakh. So that's Apikoros is to say such a thing. They knew Tanakh better than we know the Aleph Beis. So why then are there words missing or psukim paraphrased? There are different answers. One common answer is that Dvarm Shebichsav Iyata Rishai Lo Omer Malpeh. Since the Gemara really is a record of an oral tradition, it was studied orally, and you're not allowed to cite a pasuk Balpeh, just like you're not allowed Meikar Hadin to take Dvar Torah Shebalpeh and put Torah Shebalpeh in writing. You're not allowed to quote a pasuk Balpeh without reading the pasuk inside the text. The only exceptions are psukim which we recite part of our davening, things which are extremely shogor befiv. But if it's not extremely shogor befiv, you're not allowed to quote a pasuk Balpeh without reading it inside. But since the Gemara is really an oral record of Torah, and it was recited by Alpeh, they purposely went out of their way not to cite the pasuk correctly. There's a missing word or an additional word in order to not violate that halacha. Even some of a customer, oh Yeshama, are you the Chutz Yerushalayim? When they write an invitation, they write it in a circle. It's also part of the same idea that you're not allowed to take a pasuk, and write it in a regular way
without sirtut.
So it's also part of that idea. It has to be, if you're going to write a pasuk, it has to be written the proper way. If it's not being written the proper way, then don't attempt to imitate the way it's written in a sefer on the
Vim.
Alter it, not the ksav hashuris. Not even like the zilzul and the ketuch of the ksav.
It's the imitations that are like ksav rashi or whatever it is.
Not ksav hashuris. Block letters, right? Block letters. But we have over here. So there the Gemara. Now sometimes the Gemara quotes a pasuk, it's missing words. It quotes the end of the pasuk, beginning of the pasuk. It paraphrases a section. But in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, there's something that's very bizarre. It says, quotes a pasuk from Perug Mishle, from Perug Chav Dalid, Sheva Yipol Tzadik Vakam V'Rasha Yipol Be'echos. Okay, whatever the Gemara is discussed, the Gemara quotes this pasuk. The problem is, there is no such pasuk. There is no such pasuk. The pasuk is, Sheva Yipol Tzadik Vakam U'Rishaim Yikoshlu V'Ra'ah. That's the pasuk in Perek Chof Dalid Pasuk Tes Zayin. But the Gemara doesn't quote that pasuk. The Gemara quotes, Sheva Yipol Tzadik Vakam V'Rasha Yipol Be'echos. So what's going on? So indeed, some of the editors of the Talmud were so disturbed with the Gemara's citation that they sent it to Tosad Tfus, and they changed it to the pasuk in the Perek of Dalit, Sheva Yipol Tzadik Vakam Urishaim Yikashlu Vira'ah. However, some want to suggest that the Gemara was very precise. The Gemara is not attempting to quote the Pasuk. The Gemara is coming to give an explanation, really, to the Pasuk in Perek Chof Ches, because these words here are very difficult. Hoylich tamim yivashaya, v'nekash derochayim yipol be'echos. What? Someone who is corrupt, he stumbles be'echos. What does that mean? So the Mitzudos and Rashi, they struggle. It means that a tzaddik is surrounded by many tzaris, the many difficulties in life, but he's able to overcome them all. But a Rashi, even the first trouble, the first one, he stumbles. But when you contrast this to what it says in Perek Chof Dal, that a tzaddik also stumbles, and it adds so much more flavor. Because according to this pasuk over here just says that a tzaddik doesn't stumble altogether. It doesn't say a tzaddik. Here it's a tamim. Hoylich tamim yivashaya. Tamim is spared. So it seems like he does not
That's
even.
What he's saying also, it's Sheva Yibol Tzadik Vakam, but he gets up.
Oh, so that's the point. The point is
that's
that Yivashe means, you want to suggest that it means to stand. When you combine the two psukim together, then it has more flavor.
He does fall.
Ein Tzadik Be'aretz Hashayas Atav Lo Yechta Tzadikim fall. This is a reality. Anyone that says that tzaddikim are perfect and they never did an aver their entire life.
The Pope is perfect.
No such thing. Look, Parshas Vayikra. All the korbanos that are brought by Asher Nasi Yechte. If the Kohen Gadol, the Kohen HaMashiach sins, it tells you about and the Gemara Asher. Asher. From the word of Asher, fortunate is a generation when the Kohen Gadol and the Melech are willing to admit that they made mistakes, that they have committed done averos. So here in Echnami, when we combine the two psukim, when we keep the gears of the Gemara the way it is in the original form, the Pasuk of here is telling us not like what it says in the Mitzudos, that like you said, Yivashaya means that he can walk through darkness and he will be spared. No, tzaddikim, tamimim, they stumble, they suffer, they go through the same nisyonos as everyone else. They stumble. The difference is they arise, vakam. They are able to overcome it. They stand up once again. But the rasha, but the nekash derachayim, which refers to the rasha, even the first time he stumbles, he remains down. He does not have the ability be'echos to rise once again. So, just the point is that it's very interesting how you take this pasuk. It opens up a new way to understand Tanakh. That many times psukim are not meant to be stood alone. Many times you have psukim. The only way you can fully appreciate a pasuk is when you contrast it. Is when you connect it to another pasuk. It's a big puzzle. You support it, but you contrast it. You add the pieces together. Then you get the full flavor. The pasuk, the one here, corresponds to the seven back in Perek Chof Dalet. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk Yutes Oved Admoso Yispalach. And a person who works his land will be sated with bread. Umiradef Rekim Yisparish. A person who pursues empty pursuits, Yispa, will be satisfied with the rish, with nothingness, with poverty. Pasuk Yutes in the Mitzvot of Oved Admoso. Bacharisho is a person who works very hard plowing and planting. He will be satisfied. He will eat bread. Umiradef, a person pursues. A person pursues nonsense. He will be filled with poverty. He will have nothing but poverty. It's an expression. He will be satisfied with his poverty because he pursued nothingness in his life. Rashi pasukites yisparish anius poverty. Now the question here is, why does it say the word admaso? It should say oved adama yispa lochem. A person who works land will be satisfied with bread. So the Mefarshim explains, it's telling you a very important principle. Better own your own business. It's one thing to be an Oved Adama. I'm an Oved, I'm a farmer. I work for a company. The company owns the factory. They own the product. They own the business. I'm just the worker. And I'm a slave. So, in that situation, you will not necessarily be satisfied. To achieve true satisfaction, it has to be admoso. A person should strive for independence. A person, after he learns the business, should buy the business. If he realizes this is a good business, so you buy it, it's your business. only when it's oved ad moso is there a guarantee that it will be yisbar lochem. If you're just an oved adama and it's not my adama, so that's it. When the owner doesn't want me anymore, I serve at his will, his goodwill. When he doesn't want me to serve at the same amount of a job, I'm not going to necessarily be satisfied with bread. Another interesting thing I came across is admoso refers to the person's serve yourself. A person is ofar min ho adama. Oyved admoso means, and lechem, lechem means luchu lachamu belachmi, Torah. A person who works on his mind, person who works, devotes himself to the study of Torah, he will be a Talmud Chacham. Oyved admoso refers to ofar min ho'adama, vayipach be'ash be'apav nishmas chayim. A person who works on himself. You work on yourself in midos, in a smada of Torah, then yispar lochem, he will become a Talmud Chacham. But in meradef reikim, a person who pursues not to work on himself, he wants to work on other people, to worship the entertainers, and all of the empty people in this world, you're running after the latest celebrities, and to follow them, and to watch what they do, yisparish, you'll live a life, you'll be satisfied with nothingness. So it's a very beautiful drush. It's telling you that better work on yourself than be know all the statistics of all the superstars. To know, to name every superstar, every baseball player, you know everything about him. Every celebrity, you know every movie they ever appeared in. If you meradef the reikim, yisparish, you'll be filled with nonsense. But if you'll be oyved admoso, you'll work on your own earth, you'll work on yourself to become a better person, yisparlochem, you'll be satisfied. You'll have satisfaction in life, you'll become a better person. Pasik chaf, ish emunos rabim rav barachos, a man of faiths, multiple faiths, is Rav Berachos, is filled with an abundance of blessings. The Otz Leha Ashir, a person who's swift to become rich, get rich quick schemes, Lo Yinoke, will not be innocent. All get rich quick schemes, all involved Gezela. Gezela and Gneva. And lo yinoke, you will not be innocent. You will be guilty. Let's see pasachof in the Mitzudas David. Ish emunos hamesaseg beemuna v'lo yirme es sabri. A person has an honest livelihood, does not deceive other people. Meutad is designated who leroiv berachos, to an abundance of blessings. Avol but hamamahar lahashir satzmo. A person that's very quick to become very wealthy. Lo yechtal milramos, he will not hold back from deceiving people. The only way you can get rich quick is by deceiving other people. Lo ye naki mehagmul haroi, he will not be innocent from punishment that will come upon him at some point in time. Now this pasuk, let's see for Rashi pasuk ish emunois hanoisein masroisav beemuna she'ein eid bedavar. No one's watching. There's no testimony. No one's coming to take inventory of how much ma'aser you've given. Bedavar ella Hakadosh Baruch Hu roye mar beloy bracha. Hakadosh Baruch Hu will increase blessing. So a person is faithful and he gives shuma and ma'aser according to the halacha, even in a situation where no one is watching other than Hakadosh Baruch Hu, he is guaranteed Hakadosh Baruch Hu will give him blessing. Va'otz lahashir doichek hasha lehis a. Asher b'shelaniim, he pushes away the poor. He does not want to give up from his wealth to the poor. He pushes them away. So the odds, he's swift to becoming rich by not giving money to the poor. Lo yinokeh, he will not be innocent from the sin of denying the tzedakah, denying what the poor are entitled to from the perspective of the Torah. Okay, now this pasuk ish emunos is written b'loshen rabim. You would expect the pasuk to say pasuk of ish emunah, a man of faith. Why does it say it beloshon rabim emunos? So the Balei Musar explained, because when it comes to business, you have to have faith a lot of times. It's not once when a person has a very difficult decision: should I be honest? Should I not be honest? What should I do in this situation? Okay, you know what? I'm gonna do it right. I'm gonna play by the book. I'm gonna have faith. And then a day later, he is presented with another nisayon. The other nisayon is much, much greater. It's so easy for a person to say, listen, yesterday I did more than the average person would do. 95% of the world, when it comes to this issue, they would have cheated. I was an honest guy. You want me again? Nochamol. To be honest again in this matter? This matter, only one in a million is honest. It doesn't matter. Nochamol. You have an obligation to show your faith a second time. And then a third time, and a fourth time. The word emunos in business is not just a one-time act of emuna. You can be faithful 100 times, and then one time you make a mistake, that's it. No one's going to care about all the 100 times that you were faithful, you were honest. You make one little mistake, they're watching, they'll catch you. You see the politicians all the time, right? Politicians, and when they get caught for one little mistake, so then they have a trial, and at the trial they have hundreds, if not thousands, of people who send letters and testify before the judge that this is such a good person. You know what he did? He did this, he did this, he did this, he did this. You know how many good things he did? Who would have done such a good thing? Have rachmanis on him. But he did this one little crime. What? That's the greatness sign. Ish emunois. It's not just enough to be an ish emunah. You have to be continuously consistent in your midah of emunos. What?
No, that's the word.
Emunos plural. Be consistent in your emunah. Okay, that's one very powerful limud of Musa. Another idea. There was once a person that came to a Rav, or whoever it was, and said, I'm having trouble with emunah. I'm having questions. Things are bothering me. I have questions about faith. What should I do? So he told him two things. That one thing he told him is learn the Masor from Rabbi Yechezkel Levenstein, to learn Chumash Rashi. Chumash Rashi is magic. You learn Chumash Rashi, it cleanses your mind, and it takes away all questions. Magic. The other thing he told him was, you have to have emunah to have emunah. You have questions. You have to, I don't know how to say this, you have to think about it. It's a very deep idea. You have to have, I have questions, should I have emunah? Should I have faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You have to have emunah to have emunah. Have faith in having faith. And later you'll see it'll all make sense. It's a very deep idea, and possibly it's alluded to here in this pasuk. This pasuk says ish emunos. All the commentators tell us that it doesn't say emunah; it says emunos. B'loshen Rabbim. There are multiple layers in having faith. Sometimes you have to have faith to have faith. Okay, another idea is the Medrash. The Medrash says when a typical farmer has to have a double faith. First of all, when he goes out to the field and he plants, he has to make investments. You have to invest in the land, in your workers. You require faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu that He will come through for you and the land will yield a profitable crop. So that's the first. And Sefer Zeroyim is Sefer Emunos. V'haya Emunas Itecha Chosin Yeshua's Chochmas Vodas. You have to have faith. So you have to have faith when you go out into the field. That's the first faith. Then you come back a couple of months later and the crop is successful. Harvest the crop. You bring in the produce. Now comes time to give tzedakah. You have to have faith that if I'll give my stock of 10%, 20%, whatever it is, Chumas and Maestros, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will reward me, V'harikos Yilchem Barucha, last week's Haftarah, Ad Belidai. So there's a double faith. The Pasuk here is addressing a farmer, and Hashem is telling him, have faith twice. Number one, have faith to go out and labor, plant, plow, seed, and land, and hope that it will produce. Have faith in me. Number two, have faith after you are successful, that just like the land I came through for you the first time, I'll come through for you the second time. Give the aniyim, the poor, what they rightfully deserve, and you need not worry. Okay, now the next idea here is the word otz. Otz, a person who is rash. swift. He's quick to make money, get rich quick, a get rich quick scheme. And it says here, lo yinoke, which is very similar now, modern day and age. Obviously, this is most get rich quick schemes involve some type of illegal activity. Lo yinoke. Anytime you see a person getting rich too quickly, you know there is a very big problem. The proof to this comes from Yitzchak Avinu. Probably the richest person in the world was Yitzchak Avinu. Yitzchak Avinu, it says, Mea Sha'arim. He was blessed with Mea 100 times more than he could expect. The Pasuk says about Yitzchak Avinu, Vayigdal Ho'ish, Me'od, Me'od. What does it mean, Me'od, Me'od? So the commentators explain Me'od, Me'od means little by little. Ein ribui achar ribui ela lemait. Ma'od mod means very, very much. The Torah wanted to tell us that he was very, very rich. All it needs to say is that Yigdal Ho'ish Ma'od. Torah doesn't repeat words. Torah is not a, it's not a newspaper. It doesn't repeat words. What's saying Ma'od Ma'od? Very much. That's not the derech. Even when we say Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh in davening every day, what does that mean? It doesn't mean Hashem is very holy. Holy plus plus. Kadosh means Hashem is holy in Shemayim, there's Kedusha on the earth, and there's Kedusha in Zman. We explain, we translate the words Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh every day when we recite Yalev Yavo. There's no such thing as plus plus. If your words are repeated, it's teaching you a limud. Ma'od, Ma'od means gradually. He became very, very wealthy, but Ein Ribui Achar Ribui Elo Lemait, little by little. Today he made $10. The next day he made $11. He made $12. That is a healthy type of ashiras. When ashiras comes gradually, you know it is a bracha, it's an ashiras which can be sustained, which is healthy, and which is from the bracha, the rav berachos, it's a great bracha from Hashem. It comes from emunah. The otz lehashir, when you see some people starting making money very, very quickly, they're rash, that's not the bracha vayigdal ha'ish ma'od ma'od. There's something wrong. Something is not right. And lo yinokeh, there's something that's lacking. Either you want to say in the more mystical way from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not a healthy type of wealth, or lo yinokeh, it's something that there's some corruption, there's some type of illegal activity that is causing him to be successful. Okay, now we go to the next pasuk, pasuk Chof Aleph, Haker Panim, lo yitoif, favoritism. Favoritism is never good. V'al pas lechem yif shagover. And through a slice of bread, people will commit the worst sins. Give me a little slice of bread, and I'll do an avera. Who do we apply this pasuk to? It's not exactly with regard to pas lechem. Esav. Esav gave up everything. He gave up the bechorah for nizir adashem. He gave up nitzchias. A foolish thing, nitzchias. There's no greater yifsha gover, foolish act. A gover, Esav, a gover who was yifsha, did an act that was foolish, a crime. Then Esav, all for what? For nizid adoshim, which here the pasuk is paraphrasing, which substituting pas lechem, a piece of bread. For a piece of bread, stopping to eat, you're willing to do the worst crime. It shows that a person has no moral standing, he doesn't value life. And the beginning of the pasuk expressed the same exact thing, just in different words. Haker ponim, why would a person do this? To show favoritism, haker fonim loitav. It seems that the end of the pasuk is explaining the beginning of the pasuk. A person wants some favoritism. He wants his friend to look at him nicely, to show him favor in mishpat, a dayan who's going to issue a verdict. So you'll be willing to do the worst thing, so the dayan should give you just a piece of bread. He should show you favoritism for pas lechem, and for that you're willing to be yifsha gover, you're willing to do a crime. Let's look at the mitzudas pasuk of Alf Haker. Loi toiv le dayon. The mitzudas says the subject of this pasuk is a judge. It's not proper for a dayon lahaker pnei ha'echad to favor another person, lechabdu to honor him, ki bezeh yisasmu tainoi spalei dinoi. Then the other party, the other litigant, when he sees that the judge is smiling at Reuven, when Shimon sees that the judge is smiling at Reuven, Shimon says, you know what, forget it. I might as well keep my mouth shut. I don't stand a chance. And if he would indeed open up his mouth, he would present some very powerful arguments. He might win. But that's what happens when a judge shows favor to someone else. And therefore the judge will believe Reuven, the Yiskeu Bedin, and will reward him the judgment. Period. Does it make sense? Shabavur matan muetis for a small little gift. Why is the judge showing favor to Reuven? Because the judge knows he'll get a kickback. I'm going to award you $1 million, and you'll send me a postcard. You'll send me a postcard in the mail, right? I'll get. When you go on vacation, after I award you $1 million, you'll take the money, you'll go on vacation to who knows where, and you'll send me a postcard. For the postcard, it's worth it. I should go and I should award you $1 million like I did. Hayitachin shebavur matan muetes shechoshev hadayin lakabel mimi shemakul leponim sheyivsha benafshoi. The judge should corrupt his neshama lachaytzi amishpat muukol to issue a corrupt judgment. It's nonsense, but yet it's ma'asim b'chol yom. That's the way the world goes. Haker ponim loytoyv v'al pas lechem yivsha gover. Is it really kedai to be makir ponim in order to receive a piece of bread? For that, it's kedai to be yivsha gover. The dayan, so the yivsha gover is going back on haker ponim. The dayan should be haker ponim. Is it really worth it? Of course not. But that's the way the world goes. People make stupid things. Let's see over here. Rashi pasuk of aleph. Pasuk of Aleph, Yivsha Gover, Hamate Mishpat. Yivsha Gover is going back and being the pasuk to be Mate Mishpat, to corrupt judgment. Okay, the next words are the next words. Nivhol Lahoin is the next pasuk. I did see here a very interesting medrash that interprets this in reference to Birchas Hamazon. We all know that a Kodesh Baruch Hu shows Klal Yisrael special favor, and the Chazal ask, it's not fair. How can HaKadosh Baruch Hu show favor to Klal Yisrael lo yisafonim? But it says it was in Kriya Shema. It says I've got the pasuk where Hashem does show us favor. Yisa Hashem ponav ilecha avichu neka. May Hashem show you favor. So how can Hashem show us favor when Hashem is lo yisafonim? So what does Hashem answer? Should I not show them favor? I only told them they should make a birchas hamazon when they're v'yachalto v'savata. And look what they do. They will be yisafonim to me. They will bless me. So therefore, it's not favoritism. It's mida k'neged mida. They're good to me. They do for me more than what's required of them, and therefore mida k'neged mida. It's all pidin. I'm going to do to them more than what I am required to do. So some want to learn that into this pasuk. Haker panim lo tov. A person. Let's read it really backwards. V'al pas lechem yivsha gover. A person eats a loaf of bread. We're not going to read it here as a rhetorical question. We'll read it as a statement. A person here eats a pas lechem, a piece of bread, and he decides, you know what? Yivsha gover. I'm not going to bench. Give me something to eat. Benching, there's no greater segula. People are doing the most exotic, bizarre. We hear this from Rabbanim all the time. People are doing the most exotic segulas. They're spending thousands of dollars to run to Mekubalim, to the end of the world, to do the strangest things, segulas, for who knows what. The greatest segula you can possibly have is to recite Birchas Hamazon with Kavana. Doesn't cost much. They're even giving away bread for free today. Erev Pesach, you can get some bread for free. Go to the bakery, they'll give you some bread, and you sit down, you make hamotzi, and you recite Birchas Hamazon with Kavana. There's no greater school. The words of Birchas Hamazon are powerful as can possibly be. And yet, look what goes on in this world. People, they mumble the brachas, yal pas lechem yivsha gover, over a piece of bread. Man sins. He does not appreciate the opportunity he has to make the bracha with kavana. And therefore, what's the consequence? The beginning of the pasuk says, Haker ponim loy toif. Hashem's not going to show you favor. Yiso Hashem ponav elecha. Hashem is willing to show us favor. to more favor than we deserve. Why? The Malachim say, Hashem, are you going to show favor? But lo yisofanim, you're not allowed. Hashem is a God that does not show favor. But if you bench, you recite Birchas Hamazon, so then you're entitled al pidin for favoritism. But that's only if you bench. If you yifsha gover, then haker ponim loy toiv. Hashem's favoritism will not come to fruition. It will not be good. You will not be recipient of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's favoritism. Very interesting twist on this pasuk. Okay, pasuk of Beis is nivhol lahoy. This is a continuation of otz of pasuk chaf. A person who's otz lehashir, he's rash to become wealthy. Here as well, nivhol, he's confused lahoin. Money, wealth makes a person bohol. It distorts his, it blinds his vision, confuses his mind, mixes him up. You don't see things clearly. When it comes to money, you become intoxicated. You don't see things right when you have an opportunity to make money. Opportunity to make money? I won't daven with a minion. I won't learn. I'll give everything up. Give everything up. Drop everything for the wrong reason because the opportunity to make money is here. Unfortunately, there are people like that. We all know that's the Metzius. Nivhol. Nivhol is a state where you lose your sanity. Why? Lahoin. Money. Who suffers from such a sickness? An ish ra oyin. People who have an evil eye. V'lo yeda. They're foolish to realize ki cheser yivoenu. This path in life will result in lackingness, in cheser, in nothingness. You'll be lacking basic necessities if you fail to control yourself. When it comes to money, ultimately the person will have nothing. Not only will you not have, you'll not have money, you'll be lacking even your basic necessities. Let's look at Pasuk of Beis in the Metzudah Stav, Nifal, Habohol, Laharbo Ishoin, person who's bold to increase his money, Bevadai Hu Ra'ayin, without question you can be certain, Ki Ra'ayin, Ayin, he is, has an evil eye. Ki yera eino lo se sedaka mehainai. Suda Seir says he does not want to give money, does not want to give from his wealth of tzedaka mehainai. He's
not generous.
The loyiti lev ladas, he doesn't pay attention. Shabavur mitzias hat tzedaka, shabavur mitzias, the withholding. Mitzias means the withholding of atzlaka. Yavo hachesaron beosho, chesaron will come to his wealth. He will lose. We all know that giving tzedaka is like salt; it is a preservative. Many multiple Mar Chazal that giving tzedaka preserves a person's wealth. So here, the pasuk according to the Mitzvah is telling us over here is that is a ra'ayin nivel ahoyin, a person that is bohol after money is a ra'ayin. Ra'ayin according to the Mitzvah tells us he does not give tzedaka. A person who's bohol. Bald, he's not clear. His approach to making money is an indication that he's not from the big Balei Tzedakah. That's not an obvious thing. I don't know if we look at it like that today. Today there are people out there that you definitely would say they're Bohol HaChamam. They do strange things. They take outrageous risks. They're irrational with regard to money. Are those people, in our view, not Balei Tzedakah? Are they really ra'ayim? I don't know. But the pasuk here says they are. Those type of people, this approach to money affects their willingness to part with their money. They will not give tzedakah the same way they would have given had they earned their money without being in a state of bahala. Okay, I don't know. What? He's making a statement. The Mitzudas is saying something very extreme, I believe. Because there are people today out there that are Bohol HaChamamim, and they are big Balei Tzedakah.
No, what he's saying is they should be giving more.
Oh, that's what he seems to be saying. Okay, that's a very interesting idea. I remember there was
that's more nuanced.
What?
That's more nuanced than some absolute principle that, therefore B. There are shades.
Different shades of graciousness of how much they're willing to part with their money. So he's saying, had they earned that same amount of money without this thing called bahala, then they would have given a lot more money. The fact that they came to this money in a state of Bahala is an indication that they're Ra'ayin, and they're not going to give away as much as they could have given away. I remember a number of years ago, there was the recession, when the market collapsed. So there were some very wealthy people that went to, this is the story, I don't know if it's true or not, I'm telling you what I heard, they went to Chaim Kanievsky. There's some very wealthy people who lost, could be even $100 million. People that are well known in the frum community, who give big, big money to the yeshivas, and they lost suddenly $100 million, so something along those lines. So they went to Chaim Kanievsky, and they said to him, "How? That's Torah. How did this happen? How did this happen that we give so much stock over the last 10 years? We've given away millions of dollars. And Hashem took away all my money just like that? $100 million? So he said to them, "I don't understand. You mean to tell me, this is what the story, you mean to tell me you had in the bank $100 million sitting around doing nothing?
And all you gave them $1 million.
How could it be? How could it be? You could have given away that $100 million before the market crashed, and the money would have been well spent, and the money disappeared into thin air. You actually had $100 million in the bank, and you didn't make use of it when you had it immediately? I can't understand this." That was his answer to why, how could it be they lost all that money. Maybe there's some type of common, people, you know, even people today who are making $100 million, this money comes through Bahala. No? I don't know, I shouldn't say that. I don't know, but okay, this is what it says. Let's go now. This is give the same contribution, yeah, no matter what.
The guy gives the
$18.
$100 he's giving chai. He's making 1,000. He's still giving chai.
Tzidkosoi oimedes lo'ad. The same donation you gave 50 years ago when you made minimum wage, that's what you're giving today. Oimedes lo'ad, even though now you have in the bank, you have hundreds of million dollars. Okay, we have over here, this pasuk also is interpreted in reference to three people. This, the subject of this person, Nivhal, and who were people that were Nivhal Lohan? To give an example, number one was Cain. Cain was Nivhal Lohan. Cain, the only two people who occupied it was Adam. Adam, it seems, wasn't Koil, he wasn't interested. He wasn't interested in this world. He had two sons, Cain and Hevel, and he told Cain, "You take care of the assets, you take care of the business." So Cain and Hevel, Cain was a real clever, shrewd fellow, and he decided, "I want everything, and I'm going to get I want the whole world. The way I'm going to get the whole world is I'll make a business deal with Hevel. You take the metaltalin, and I'll take the karka. I'll own the real estate, and you'll own the metal. We'll split the world." Hevel was not as swift as Cain. He agreed to the deal. He agreed to the deal. Maybe it was a better deal. Maybe at that point in time it was a better. Maybe there was more metaltalin. There was more value. I mean, real estate is only as good as location, location, location. But there was no one else in the world. There was no one else in the world. So maybe the real estate had no value. Maybe the metaltalin had more value at that point in time.
Yeah. So in Karaka.
But then Cain then said to Hevel, "Hevel, you're standing on my property. What are you doing here? I own this land. Get out of here." It's very bizarre. He kept on saying, "I own the whole world. Go to Mars. Go somewhere else. Go to the moon. You're on my..." And somehow he used... I don't know the details, but Cain outsmarted Hevel in this business transaction of splitting the top and the karka to ultimately steal, besides that Cain killed Hevel, besides that he did, that was later, but he also was successful in taking away all of his assets. And Cain became the owner of everything that existed in this world. That's what it says in the Medrash, and the Medrash says we apply to him, he was Nival Lahoin. He was Nival Lahoin Cain, Ish Ra'ayin, he had a bad eye. He made a business deal with Hevel. He gave Hevel the metaltalin. He kept the karka. He then said to Hevel, "You're on my property. Get lost." Hevel had nowhere to go. Hevel had to then, I guess, pay for his right rent to live on this world by giving up all of the metaltalin. Something along those lines. What was the punishment? The punishment was that Cain killed Hevel, and he was cursed. No vanad tihiyeh ba'aretz. Nida keneged nida. Just like what he wanted to do to Hevel, he told Hevel that you have to wander because it's my property. Now Cain was the one that was on the run from the animals because nida keneged nida. No v'not a wanderer tiyeh ba'aretz. So he was cheser yivo enu. He became a person that was lacking his basic needs. Why? Because he was nival lahoin. He wanted everything. He wasn't happy with what he had. Ish ra oyin v'lo yeda, through his actions, he himself would come to a state of being cheser yivo enu. Okay, who else do we apply this pasuk to? We apply it to Esav. Esav was nival lahoin, and that's why. What did Esav nival lahoin b'shosh shemes Yitzchak bahu Yaakov v'Esav v'chilku es hakol Amar Yaakov Rasha ze asir hu likonetz hu one of Lamar's machpela v'yelo chilek v'diro im atzadikim akruim b'saycha miyod Amar v'notlas kol hamam shayi b'yadoi v'as oisau kri v'amar li'Esav achi chilek sheyeshli b'mara zo Tirtze, have it for Tirtze, or Kesef Azov Hazeh. What do you want? But also, Shah Omar Esav Hareze Beis Kvura, Motzeb Chamokam, a cemetery? Huh. I can go be buried wherever I want, anywhere in the world. Cemeteries are cheap. I'd rather take the money. So again, so when Yitzchak Avinu died, Yaakov and Esav inherited all of the wealth of the world. Vayigdol Ho'ish Me'oid Me'od. They split, so what Esav here had, it was a bohol. In the state of Bahola, to take for himself money, what was the cost? The cost was the Ma'aras HaMachpela. So he gave up the Chelek in the Ma'aras HaMachpela for all of Yaakov Avinu's money. V'nasan lechelkai, hush Yaakov Amar, b'kivri asher karisi li, konisi en ksiv elo karisi. Why does it say when Yaakov Avinu, when Yaakov told Yosef, I want you to bury me in the Maris Machpelah, in the kev asher karisi. Why did he choose the word karisi, not the word konisi? Because karisi with the chaf is lashav kari, a pile. Yaakov Avinu piled up all of his money and said to Esav, take the money, take all my money, and in exchange, give me the chelik in the Ma'aras HaMachpelah. I want the Ma'aras HaMachpelah for myself and not for you. And what happened? What was the punishment? The punishment was Cheser. Esav was not buried in the Ma'aras HaMachpelah. Shlo nichnas Ma'aras HaMachpelah, he was buried. He lost, that was the chesed, the most basic thing a person needs. The most basic thing a person needs is burial. Okay, we think that burial is the most basic thing to cover a person's shame. Achar mea ve'eshem. Esav was not zocheh to a proper burial. He was fulfilled in him the ultimate form of ki cheser yivo enu. It came upon him what is lacking. And what is lacking is a proper burial. Why? Because he sold his right of burial for all the money for the money, because he was a nivol lahoin. He was obsessed with wealth. He was an ish ra'ayin. And that's why he got what he deserved. Okay, the third person whom we refer this pasuk to is Ephron Hachiti. Ephron Hachiti, he gave the Esav. He sold out the Ma'aras HaMachpelah to Avram Avinu for how much money? I told you the wrong order. For Arba Meo Shekel Kesef Oiver La Soicher. I told you that I read in a safer recent made a calculation how much it's worth. About today would be worth about $3 million. That's you can calculate 400 silver coins Oiver La Soicher. We have some type of sources to figure out how much the value with silver is, what the coins, how large they were, how much they're worth, and based upon the price of silver today, it will be about $3 million. So Avraham Avinu was quite wealthy. Yeah, $3 million to buy for a... $3 million for the Ma'aras. Today it's priceless. Today they wouldn't take it. You tell the Arabs, we'll pay you for the Ma'aras. Everyone should pack up out of Hebron. How much do you want? Say to the Arabs today, how much do you want for Hebron? All the Arabs should leave Hebron. How much do you think they would demand?
Well,
nothing. There's nothing you can give them that would.
Of course not. They would buy them off.
Buy them off. Nothing. Give them all the money in the world. Will they accept it to leave Hebron to relocate?
67, they would have left.
They would have left then.
They were afraid. In 67, Hebron worked out. Hebron was captured without a shot being fired.
Rabbi Gordon captured Hebron.
By himself?
He came to the coast and they said, they're going to Hebron. So he jumped in his jeep and he ran to Hebron. He got there before there were anybody there.
Yeah.
And the Arabs weren't coming. They all had the white flags because they were afraid they would
They
be
were
Hebron
afraid for 1929.
That's right.
Okay, so Ephron was the one that gave away all his money for the Ma'aris Machpel. Why does it say Cheser Yicheser? Because he was, what was the Cheser of, he was, because his name was missing the letter. Ephron is spelled until he sold the Ma'aro, is spelled with a Vav, Mole. After he sold the Ma'aro Spachpela, it's spelled without a Vav. So Sachako, we have over here three people. We have Cain, we have Hevel, Cain, Ephron, and Esav. Each one was in the category of Nivol Lahoin, Ish Ra'oin, they all are called Ra'ayin, and all of them suffered a different form of Cheser. Cain suffered chesed that he had no minuchas hanefesh, no vonot. That's tremendous. It goes to show that the person wants to be a shalem, you have minuchas hanefesh. He may not have what to eat, he may not have where to live, but if you have minuchas hanefesh, it's pretty good. It's pretty good. That's an incredible thing. A person can have everything in the world, and he has no minuchas hanefesh. What's all his money worth? What's his life worth? That minuchas hanefesh. So that's the ultimate called chesed. The second chesed is a place to be buried. Yeah. A place to be buried. We take it for granted. Take it for granted. Some people in World Trade Center 9/11, they didn't have kavura. It's a very horrible thing. People that plane that disappeared over the Indian Ocean, where's the kavura? I want to say that the burial in the water is kavura. That's possible. That's a machlekes. If burial in water, but it's not something to be taken for granted. To be zoicha to kavura, it's a tremendous thing. And the person that's lacking that, it's called cheser yivyenu. And the third idea we learn from this medrash is a person's name, to have a complete name. A person's put into the world has a tafkid, and the tafkid is expressed in your name. Your identity is your name. When your name is lacking, you're missing a letter in your name, there's something wrong with you. The defect in who you are. Ephron's shame was defected, was damaged because of his uncontrollable desire for money. Okay, we'll stop.